Winston City Council Workshop, February 6, 2023, 6 o'clock p.m.
Okay, let's call this meeting to order at 6 o'clock. This is a workshop discussion about the Park System Development Charge. Christine Moran from Media Development is going to explain to us how he came up with what he did.
Yes.
The floor is yours, sir. You might want to maybe find out who we all are. Jack Holland.
Jack Holland. I am currently the chair of the City Park Board.
The chief of police is here to provide security because we're going to be mobbed at any moment.
Watching. Right around.
You know Andy Howell, you know Thomas McIntosh, you know Mark Bauer.
Yes.
Cindy Sardi.
Yes.
She's our recruiter.
Strangely, we love everybody in here. But
we have Alicia Anderson.
Nice to see you again.
Alan Hobson, I'm Scott Rutter, David Cunningham, and Dory White.
Nice to meet you all. I think I've met most of you before on the last time I was around. Thanks for having me again. How much time do you want to spend?
You have 45 minutes.
It's a good question because there's a lot of conversation we can have about this stuff, kind of into forever. Should we do, what do you, 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Well, I'll say 45 tops, or okay. Even 50 minutes. Give us 10 minutes of a break before the meeting starts.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds great. I never like to assume that people know what an STC is because most people don't. It's pretty outside the normal world until you try to build a house and someone sends you that SDC and you have to write a big check for it, and it's a very sensitive topic. SDCs are a way for municipalities to raise money to accommodate growth. It's kind of that simple. And what it allows you to do, there's a bunch of rules about it in Oregon. It's in law. You follow a methodology, you come up with all the things you might want to do, you narrow down what those things are to be the things that are just for growth, because I'll keep saying growth, but it's for the growth that's coming. And then we calculate some numbers. And typically how this works for communities is you do a lot, and when you add up all the things that you could collect money for, that number ends up being pretty big, or big-ish, and then usually you say that's not quite right. And so what we're going to show you today is there's kind of a range, and there are several factors to that. And on one side, it depends on how ambitious you want to be in your envisioning of the parks side, and we're going to talk mostly about parks. But I also want to tie this together with the work that Civil West is doing for wastewater STCs that are also getting updated. Please interrupt me anytime, I don't care at all. Parks are a little bit different because maybe you can get grants at times, but there isn't a fee really. Some communities have it, but the question is how do you raise money to take care of your parks and to get ready for growth? And parks doesn't have, it's not part of your rates typically, it's not part of your sewer rate. So it's a little bit harder to get the money for the parks that you need. So just keep that in mind as we talk about this, and I think I'll bring this up several times, is that SDCs are not that silver bullet to solve all of your parks' problems. It's just a piece of the solution. So I tend to write these down and then just talk around them, so if I'm missing something, please feel free to jump in and ask. But so we talked about what it's for. Fees are not necessarily attached to parks, and so STCs are actually really important for all of your infrastructure, but specifically for parks, because there's not necessarily another way to get funding. So the objectives of our STC study, there were some gaps, and I'll talk about the background a little bit. There's been some work done in the past. Actually, it's the next slide, but I'll talk about it then. But we're kind of expanding on the work that's been done in the past, what's been done already, where it's been lacking a little bit is actually what are those things we want to do in parks? What is the capital improvements list? What are all the things we want to do? What's the vision? The previous study that was done for park master planning was, I think it got most of the way there, and then it kind of fizzled out, you know, sort of at the end. And so after reviewing that, and Andy came, the team came and talked to me and says, what should we do? And we made it a specific point to take that across the leadership line. So that's kind of what our goal is here. We'll talk about a few case studies, and one thing I'll highlight is just because you don't have the money that you need or slash want to do the things that you want to do, doesn't mean that you can't get some things done. So we're going to talk about that just a little bit. One of the things in this project that we did spend a lot of time on, and for good reason, is that capital improvement plan. It sounds kind of boring, but to support that, we also developed some mapping. Because without a big list of things doesn't tell you that much other than the numbers. The maps tell you kind of where is it in the parks, why is it important, where does it fit into the system, and then we do all the math in the background to kind of come out to the results. Reinforcing just a little bit, there was a parks master plan that was put together. Actually, a lot of good work was done in it, at least from the front side of the area. What are your characteristics, all those kind of fun things. And like I mentioned, it sort of fizzled out toward the end, and it's like sliding into home base and not quite making it there. So we wanted to take that all the way through. We met with the team. We met even with Civil West. We wanted to play really nice in the sandbox with everybody to get the best ideas. And what we decided was that if Civil West picks up the wastewater STC side, they're a little bit more familiar with that at this point. And if I pick up the parks, we have some cross-collaboration. There are specific cross-points that are pretty useful to cross-collaborate, so we're not doing things twice. And so I think that's been pretty effective. So we all met down there and had a brainstorm about what these things should look like. We all sort of threw our hats off because the numbers were sort of big, and then we came to terms with what these things should look like, and then we pursued with our followed through with our plan. I don't want to worry too much more, so I'm going to move on. So, in a big way, for me as an engineer, to be able to help the city envision for parks, I think that I needed to see this stuff. Andy made the team available, and we went park by park, literally walking around them. I'm making notes and taking drone footage and pictures of the things that are needed. And I'll keep coming back to this, but STCs are for future, but I didn't want to just talk about the future. I wanted to talk about what are all the things you need. That really is a capital improvement plan. You know, what are all the things you need? Reserving judgment, and then coming back at the end and filtering those down by which of those things are actually to support growth. And so you'll see a bigger number for the bigger needs, and then you'll see a smaller number for what we think is STC eligible. So part of that effort, we went sort of park by park. The goal isn't to have this all be done and ratified, and then we just go down the list for all eternity. It's to get pretty darn close to what we want to see, come up with a good, reasonable effort to start getting funding now, because we don't want to lose that window. I think there's more work potentially to do in the future. Maybe the parks board, and there's going to be more conversations about what to do, maybe on an annual or several year basis. But this really lays out the vision for the next 20 years. So here you can kind of see where the parks currently are located, and then we developed individual maps. These are all to scale, so it's kind of nice. We can lay out little boxes and pictures for all the things we might want to do and shuffle those around. Easy to do in the future, so we have a nice platform now. You know, if Andy calls me or anyone and says, hey, we want to consider doing this other thing, get it into the map and get it into the list of projects and the costs and roll it back in again. The reason why I bring this up is because you're going to want to update your STCs probably every year, a couple of years potentially. You want to review and see how they're going, see how that's turning out. And as the plan changes, we want to make this really easy for you just to adopt any changes to it. We can talk about the individual parks. I have this terrible spreadsheet. It's actually quite useful to run the numbers automatically, but spreadsheets of the project, individual projects all laid out in this particular park. You can see where those are with the numbering system. It shows how big roughly they are. We did kind of an ideation process where we went park by park, imagined what we might need to do, want to do, and I'll give you some examples. Like, we might want a pavilion down here. What we're really sort of doing is we're not committing to the pavilion, but we would like to. We'd like to reserve some funds for a structure somewhere. And so we want to get things like that into the list of things we may want to do. And this is where some people get confused with SDCs. We want to dream big, you know, reasonably big, so we can capture that revenue. It doesn't mean that we have to do all these projects in any particular order. It's just a way for us to envision.
But the SDD is the means by which all these other projects will happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll show a couple of case studies here. And actually, on that note, if we go back to Community Park, well, we know we're redoing the roof. That's happening right now. And I'll show you some pictures there today. And we're also working on the pavilion. We've got some funding for that. There wasn't a lot of money in the budget, but Andy says, hey, can you help with this project? I'm like, absolutely. Let's get to where we know what it is and where it is and what it's made of. And then have these conversations of how do you fund it. Well, it ended up, because we were ready, you're ready to accept funding. So there's a lot of conversations about what to prioritize, but because you can't do it all now doesn't mean you shouldn't get ready to do it. We can come back to these maps if you want to and kind of go through the specific projects. I thought it would be more useful to show you that we did the mapping. We have a really good idea of what those projects are. Could you take some off and add some? Sure, of course. And there's time to do that. But just to let you know, we did map out the parks, and there's a kind of a platform for us to talk about it in the future.
So heading west from the boat ramp, that's more of a greenway situation than an actual park, correct?
Yeah.
And how do we develop that?
Well, now that is a that's a whole that's a great question. I don't have a complete answer for that right now, but that's a really good question. Is what do we want to do with the parks? At this point, we know where they are. We're focused on the areas that are sort of already developed and need things. But it's a really good point. I mean, could we do some development in here and have some natural trails or other things? We don't have it in the plan now, but as you start to think through as a group what you'd like to see, it's very easy for us to jump in and start talking about it, at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the an archaeological site in that area?
Well, I haven't seen an inventory for this area, but it's something you have to look at, and there may be.
The boat ramp was we're very concerned about that, and so they ended up pretty much just burying it rather than excavating it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you just covered up with more layers of dirt. But I think going west from there, if you wanted to put in trails and stuff, that wouldn't be that disruptive, I wouldn't think.
I think,
remember, you're still right on the river, Scott, and that river comes up and down.
Yeah, so a simple trail would not be.
Yes. Yeah, and you bring up, and we can do any kind of diversions you would like to, okay, like this, but you can see, as I talk to the teams, like, where should we put walkways and pathways? And we just, it doesn't mean this is where they will be, but we did reserve some space for some. Mm-hmm. And really, it's like, what we want to encourage is I think Andy said it this way, is that we want to encourage people to be able to come to and through the parks, you know? And so let's lay out some trails and sidewalks. And I mean, this is a great example where, you know, people are coming in, walking their dogs over there today, and, you know, of course they're walking on the road. And so putting sidewalks where people can walk off the side of the road is a great idea. We should reserve X amount of square feet of concrete to do that, and we can think about that later. So in that same way, we can easily ideate. And on this part, we know that this floods. This area can get pretty wet. So that's why this one is just a little bit on the uphill side of that. But we wouldn't want to put any permanent structure that's not easy to maintain down in here. It might get chewed up, which has happened, I think.
Yeah, I've seen most of that part underwater.
Yeah, yes. And so maybe those are gravel trails.
Well, if you really knew what that park originally was, you probably wouldn't be enjoying yourself.
Yeah. No, I know what it was.
That's what I said.
We'll leave that out of
that made the room do.
What was it?
Yeah.
So some wastewater plant was there.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Well,
Surprise!
Yeah. We're not sure there's things there you want to dig up.
Okay. No excavation. On that.
That would be a real interesting archaeological study.
Yeah. One of the projects of the many is looking at this intake structure. It's in harm's way, of course, because it's in the river, and do we look at that? I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, without that, you're not watering your parks, and the amount of effort that it takes to kind of keep it together, and vandalism, and some other things, and we'll look at that. Now, just as a reminder, if any of you are interested and want some light reading for the weekend, there's a big spreadsheet for talks. Each one of these has a description of what it is, what's the scope, how many of the square feet, you know, all that kind of stuff. So there is some thought into these numbers.
I actually had a question. So what you have laid out here for the priorities, are these like in order of what we think should be the priorities on the maps here? Or is it just like the suggested?
They are not in order.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, probably the next thing, the priorities of, I would say you have two categories of priorities. And some are the ones that you just need something done at the park, which may not be related to STC at all, like replacing a roof doesn't get you there. There's that long list of things that just sort of need addressed to keep the parks up to speed.
Did you just mention adding a park? Is that what you just said?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm not sure what I said. I'm sorry.
Andy, wasn't there somewhere in the back that we were thinking about maybe putting some dry campsites back in that area by the river?
Yeah, we discussed that, Dave, at one point, but I think we kind of steering away from that a little bit with the things that are going on. And we're kind of veering away from that idea.
Okay.
Is there any place we could put a park maybe up above Safari Estates?
Above?
Well, there's that 91 lot subdivision up there. Is there some room up there that we could maybe talk the developer into building a park?
Mr. Mayor, if they were potentially thinking of doing a planned unit development, it would require common space or open space,
okay.
And that would be probably the most practical avenue. But anything additional other than that, none of it's public, so it would be facilitating conversations with the property owners or developers in that regard.
Thank you.
The inventory, the Parks Master Plan does lay out some of the spaces, a little bit more background of where parks could go, those kind of topics. So that's something we could definitely revisit. But back to your question.
Sorry.
try to close the loop. Yes and no. Yes, as in they're sort of all priorities right now.
Right.
And then there's the next round, I think, for discussions for this group might be, okay, yeah, we know what those are. You know, what does the next 2 years look like, or what does the next 3 years look like? Some of these may not seem like a priority to you, like, but that is something that you're going to want to talk about as a group, and the Parks Board's going to want to talk about, we've got this big list, which ones do we do first? There's a list of like repairs and things that are needed. Those are high on the list as funding is available and for budget cycles and those type of things. But then when it comes to growth, you know, taking one step back, when money's kind of like only so much, or do you want to build something new with your budget money? And so those are discussions that you're going to want to have, I think, at some point. Maybe it's this group on the board. I'm happy to help with that conversation. But you're right, there is this next step, like, okay, we've got this big list. How do we even bite off a chunk to deal with? Very easy to have some smaller groups to go through and maybe do what you're talking about and get them into the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and then maybe into like next year, the following year. Even if it's just we're going to fund a portion of things, like, I'm just about to get to this, is a couple of case studies, and I'm going to jump down to the pavilion first, just to tease you there a little bit. When Andy came and talked to me about the pavilion, you all know we have this empty site. No money to do it, so you think, well, gosh, where do you even start? Well, what you get together and you figure out what does it need, and what does this pavilion need to have to serve the community in the park? And so you start drawing pictures, and we went through a really good design process, and that led to, and here's some examples of what it might look like from a similar park, and what we end up with is, after all of that fun work is coming up with a pretty nice looking solution, still no money for it, but now we have a design, we have a package that we can send out to bidders, we have cost estimate to do the work, and funding comes available, and you're ready to accept the funding.
At least apply.
Yes, it might be a grant comes up, and you say, well, gosh, we've got at least a design that we know will meet our needs. And so I think there's these, of all the things as you prioritize them, you might decide, let's do 1 and 5 and 7 and spend $5,000 or whatever to get to some scoping and take it to the next step. Does that answer your question? Okay. So one more step back. You all know about the community center roof. That's getting redone now. It's going quite well. Similar example, funding came available. We had a design pretty well along. Even no, not being 100% sure that there was going to be funding, but we laid it out. We got a bidding package together, and we started here. And we all know there's leaking problems, and the worst thing you can do for a very expensive piece of infrastructure is let it go to pot. So now here's what it is as of 5 o'clock today. They're coming right along. Some really good news. Like some of these, what I had expected is where these drains are located here and here, these drains. Anywhere there's a penetration is probably where the leakage is coming through. It seems sort of obvious. Not 100% sure, but now that those have been stripped off and we've looked at what those areas look like underneath there where those drains are, it's in pretty good shape. So I'm very pleased with what we're seeing, that the water damage there is not extensive. Not what I'm seeing. What we're going to be left with is a more or less an impenetrable 30-year warranty roof that we're
going doing. With a thicker product than we did the last time. Is that correct?
It's a membrane product, and right. So it is the existing is a built-up surface, and this is a membrane. So really, it's and if you get a chance to go up there, and I do have some pictures just for a teaser, not to divert too much from the main thing, but you can see the way they roll out these long sheets of membrane, they weld these together in the long sheets, and they build up these, wherever there's any kind of penetration, it gets built up and welded. So it's pretty much you're going to have an impenetrable roof there. It's very durable. I brought some material to pass around. This stuff is really tough. Very good product.
So what's the life expectancy of that?
I think that'll have a It's 30. Yeah, if we went to a thicker, more expensive material, we could have potentially done 40. It would have been a lot more money. So I think this is going to be a great product.
In 30 years, it'll be Alicia and Thomas' problem.
someone else's problem.
And go team.
Yeah. All right. Who's going to be here the next? So sorry for the shorter version there, but I need
the door to lock.
So I apologize. Well, I'm not sorry. Actually, I'm excited about those little examples because it proves that you can make really good progress with not a lot of resources if you've got a plan. Now to the fun part. This is the spreadsheet I was talking about that goes project by project, and we have over 40 projects that we've identified. And all the math is done, and it boils up to a number which we're going to talk about today. Not everything is STC eligible. It has to be for growth. So you have a lot of needs. So, for example, you want to replace the roof on your restroom. Like, no, that's not for growth. Like, it's just something you already had. You're not increasing capacity by doing that. But if you look at the park maps, you know, putting in the new baseball field or softball field, now you're going to accommodate.
Or make the restroom's larger.
That's right. And, no, absolutely. You bring up a great point, and I'm going to run back real quick just because I think it's a really good point. Back to community park. At first, there's all these things that needed done here, and the team has done a great job of keeping it up and painting it and doing their best. It's not ADA. It's not ADA compliant. And it's
the floor. make it go away?
So, well, and that was where we, when by going through this process, it forced us all to think through, are you going to limp along with this old bathroom? And yes, you're going to. Yes, the answer is yes, you are. But let's dream big and get rid of that thing and grow it and make it ADA compliant. And now that project is STC eligible, that number six.
So what you're striving for, or what we should be striving for then as far as the parks go, is a file cabinet of projects already engineered, ready to go. And when the grant comes, we go, okay, we got money for that, that's what we're going to pull out of the file.
Generally, I would say yes. The reason why I'm kind of stuttering a little bit is you look at each project and you'll be able to make that decision. So for some, it might be, let's get $5,000 ready, and you get a drawing and you say, well, that's far enough. It'd be a drawing and an estimate. Now, it may be that you get funding, and in the funding, you can build out the bid package and do the detailed drawings. And so, not to get into the minutiae too much, but each of those projects, you'll have a chance to decide how far should we take this. Readiness means different things for certain things. So, like, if you want to be ready to get a grant because you know one's coming, you should get that all the way ready.
So each one has a different level of loaning. So you wouldn't want to do all plans for all seven because in the time it's going to start. So how do you suggest you pick? Like, I always pick the first three. What are the most important?
Yeah.
And then go from there. How many do you think?
Well, my opinion is, and we could almost have a sub, might be a good thing that Andy and I and team, and maybe the Parks Board, or, you know, however you, it's really sort of your suggestion on where should we go. The way I would normally handle that would be, we get together some smaller groups, we've got this great list, let's vet it down and organize, like you've been saying, to get maybe not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but priority 1, priority 2.
Yes.
That's kind of what the Park Board is going to be responsible for doing.
And we do have that. It is sort of built into that, but I probably took too much liberty in making those decisions. I think a conversation with the stakeholders would be good. So yeah, your priority ones, let's say there's 7 projects on it. As you're budgeting annually, you might say, I really want to do number 2. That one's, people are getting a lot of good feedback. People really want to see that. For example, do we put a restroom in the park right behind here? No restroom in the park. If you feel like that's a really high priority improvement to have, then you guys should put that on there.
It also comes down to when you look at the grants that you have available to you. For example, our state parks grants are 50% funded grants. So you got to look at what project you can fit into your budget dollars that matches best with that grant opportunity. So
yeah, these matching funds are real interesting.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of those matches can be done in kind stuff too.
Right.
And the other thing is that most of the grants out there that we could apply for, the first thing they require is a current master plan, which means updating that.
Yeah.
We're
close to having that. We wanted to avoid calling this, you have a master plan. We could almost take this stuff and amend it. But when you do that, there is a conversation at some point to have in the future on, right now I don't think that's needed. I think the goal has been STCs. Let's get some funding coming in. We picked up the master plan where it left off because we didn't feel like it had the tools you needed to be able to get to the next level. You could almost amend that and with this stuff and say, you know, here's our amended plan. It might be good to give this a little bit of runtime, get the STCs updated, have some prioritization discussions, and then if you want to invest that money in the future, then great.
Sure.
Going back to what you just said, matching, if it's a match in kind, applies. So let's say you spend $15,000 getting a design ready. That $15,000 isn't wasted money. It gets you ready to get the funding, and then that money counts toward your portion, 50% or whatever it is.
Depends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes your grant starts at the date you get the grant.
Oh, right.
So you can only start your expenditures at that point in time. So there's a lot of variables when it comes to the grants and how you make them work. They all accept to some degree some kind of in-kind work, if you can actually come up with it. But you know, it's one of those kind of matrix opportunities that you have every year about, look, we got $25,000 available in our budget. What's the best way to go after an improvement with that $25,000 to leverage the best possible opportunity that we have?
Yeah.
So there's, you know, there's a lot of decisions that have to be made around that.
Yes. Yep. I agree with all that. And, you know, it might be, you know, this kind of activity is great because it makes us all think about, well, what do we even want? You say, well, this is looking pretty close. Well, let's go to the next step. Let's talk about what kind of grants would we want to go after? Because some are a pain, some are worth it, maybe some are less worth it. And then with this prioritization, maybe that guides which ones are prioritized.
I think the key that drove this whole discussion was that we're collecting $200 a single family dwelling every time we have one put out there, which is nothing. We're not generating any revenue towards future projects. The SDC is so low. We're missing opportunities every time a new house comes into the community by having only $200 contributed towards our park. So the whole objective was this, was to come up with a real SDC that we could then go out every time there's a new house that comes along. Maybe it's $2,000 towards a new house. So now you can start accumulating some revenue to do things.
You're getting close to Corvallis money.
Well,
we're just about to talk about that fun part.
How much to charge? So the diversion through all of this master plan feeling kind of things is we did that, and with Andy's guidance, the team's guidance, and I felt like we were missing that. The master plan did not take us far enough, so it was to build up that basis so we can get STC stuff. That's really been our objective. But also build a framework so we can keep talking about master plan. What should they look like? And that's beyond my that's a group discussion about, you know, what that should look like. The good news is you're completely right. Every new home that has come in is money that you could have been capturing. So,
but at the same time, you don't want to have SDCs drive people off either.
No, there's a balance. And we've talked about this, so I'll probably skip over some of this stuff. It talks about our methodology and how we came up with the numbers. Here's the fun part, and I know it can be mind-twisting. We have some spreadsheets. We came up with all of our big list of projects that we want, come up with cost estimates for all those projects. That rolls up to a number. This is how many dollars of projects. And then we filter it by which of those are SDC eligible. And those are just the ones that have growth. So the bathroom, a new bathroom, yes. Roof repair in a bathroom, no. And so we filter all those projects all the way through, and we come up with the next number, and that's the portion of those that are SDC eligible. And that's what you see in the tables here. These are really kind of the same number, but this one is per EDU. And what I did, and I don't want to show you that today because I think it gets a little bit too messy, but we can definitely do it if you would like to. The level of ambition that you apply, you can take some of those projects on that big list and say, we're never, we don't want to do that. It's too much. Or we can say, let's do another pavilion, and you can do two pavilions, and that gets you, the level of ambition will get you kind of to a...
So please help me understand. We establish an SDC... at this point, we say we go for the 2908. Now, do we have, once we've established that number, can we take that, can we raise that a percentage a year, or every 5 years? How do we, or do we have to go back and do a whole other study to get to that point?
No, we want to do that now. We're going to get there now. So that, okay. What we're basically doing is we're looking at all those projects, kind of like the bare minimum, kind of rough, for all those maps that I drew up. If you just take some of those, you're like, yeah, let's not do a pavilion. That's a little bit too much of a reach. So we kind of winnow that project list down to a little bit smaller number or a little bit more ambitious. And so we took those projects that were, we dreamed big a little bit, if you want to think about it that way. So we've got two bookends. I wanted to be able to give you guys that from this analysis. And that's what this high and low number is.
Okay, quick question, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, sure.
How come SDCs is a flat rate and not a percentage
rate on the cost of the building, because otherwise, technically, you almost could see that as being a regressive.
Yes. So you're starting to crack the egg on the on what to do with the actual implementation of the SDC. We're sort of focusing here on, like, an EDU. There's a whole chart, and actually you have a chart in your current SDCs now that say, what if it's a multi-use building? What if it's a, there's all these cases on how you implement an SDC on something that's just not a regular house.
I'm talking about a regular house.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you got a $100,000 house, mm-hmm. you're paying the same SDC for a $400,000 house. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that, you know, to me, that's regressive.
Yes, there's several ways to handle that if you choose to. You can do it on a square footage basis. You can address that if you'd like. Sometimes simpler is better, where you have a single family house up to X amount of square feet, or you might have a house that's above whatever size. And, you know, an EDU is meant to be a single family dwelling. You know, it's a, you know, 4 or 5 people live there. But, what you'll see in the chart when you look at the details, there are, you can implement that in sort of whichever way you choose. Let's say it's a multi-use building. Well, obviously, that's how many EDUs is that? And so there is some guidance there on what to do. We should review that. When we will review that, when the new SDC resolution, kind of get to what's happened next, there's going to be an SDC resolution to approve on how we roll this out. This is really to inform what that should look like.
So basically, what Sina's talking about is that when you look at a house in your community, it doesn't really matter how much it costs. It's how many people can live there. It's like 3 bedrooms, 2 bath house, your average house. That's the amount of people that are going to be active in your park system, for example. So you know that there's a certain number of people associated with the resident, not so much the cost, and it's not a tax. You're looking at a percentage of the costs, and according to the statute, it can only be growth related. So if you have a developer who comes in and says, well, I think your park's SDC is too high, it's not based on something real, he can challenge that. And if he can show that he's right, it can be amended. You can then amend it, or, you know, they can bring suit. They can do a lot of things with it. So that's where the simpler is better concept comes from. And when you start trying to develop a bunch of different tiers and categories, it just becomes really difficult to manage.
Yeah, and the EDU concept is quite nice because you can tie it right to a wastewater usage. So if you have a multi-unit house, there's 3 units. Well, that's 3 SDCs. It's an easy way to 3 EDUs. So there is an argument to be made for the simplicity of it. There are those fringe cases, though, and I think they'll probably be relatively small, if I had to guess. But you've got some things going on. You have maybe a mobile home park or whatever. How do you deal with those? We'll want to make sure when the resolution gets rolled out that it speaks to most of those. And then on the fringe cases, the ones you maybe didn't anticipate, there's a process for them to come and argue it, and you could say no. And if you reflect on the EDU basis for whatever they're building, it's a pretty fair way to approach it. So in the end of the day, all of the math, population growth, basically what you do is you take these numbers, SDC numbers, and you divide it by the number of EDUs you're going to see coming, and that's how you get to these how much per EDU. And there's your range. 1,063 to 1,400-ish. You can do whatever you want. And I want to provide one more thing, and I'm happy to, I have a spreadsheet we can look at as well. This is, it's not just parks. I know I'm supporting parks, but I think you have to look at the whole picture to really understand, is it the right implementation? So here's several communities, and I can give you the spreadsheet, and you can play with this if you want and sort it by different groups. But the way I set this up was, here's your high and low. Here's your current SDCs in Winston. You see that, Jack? Here's your low, your high. And these roll up across all categories. So you can see, your wastewater SDC, that's the Civil West proposed number, which that is up in the air. We don't know what that number is going to be yet. Some of these are sort of guesses. The ones that I'm putting in for low and high, those are the new numbers. That's just to show you kind of how that rolls out. And then what do other communities do? You can see some communities, like Myrtle Creek, they don't have storm drain transportation or parks. They just kind of lump it all together with water, wastewater.
You've got a wide variety of population there, huge, from what you're comparing it to.
Yes, and so I would say that there's no single solution, but it is good to kind of see, well, what do towns in a different, what do other towns do?
Is Vanita looking for that much growth?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, but they might have big plans. I didn't review their master plan, but you can see the different levels of ambition. Well,
just the whole way across.
Which one are you talking about?
Vanita.
Oh, Vanita, yeah.
It's so wonderful.
Seeing just another important point about this is that every community has them. So when you look at competition for housing in your community versus another community, all the communities around you have them to some degree. It's a measure of that competitiveness that you want to take a look at, as far as, are they going to settle in your community or are they going to go somewhere else because it's $100 cheaper? Chances are not. So when you're making decisions on your SDCs, that's an important thing to keep in mind, is that everybody is paying them. It's just to, okay, so what is the degree of difference going to make where we're going to have a competitive edge or not have a competitive edge?
One thing that I see, and I'm talking to a couple of real estate people, is the fact that, well, we don't want to come there to Winston. I said, why? Because you're higher than any place else to come into. Your taxes are terrible. And that's what I'm hearing all the time.
Yeah, it's...
We're the second highest in Douglas County, not the highest.
Yeah.
Three scores higher.
It's
three scores higher? Yeah.
There's your argument right there.
Yeah, it's...
I'm still second from the highest.
That's a difficult one because it's based on a point in time, and it's cyclical. So when you have a bunch of governmental entities in a community that are having growth in their systems, like the school district building a new school, fire district building a new fire station, the city, you know, doing something, all of those things in the county, it all adds to that total tax. When you look at the city tax portion compared to other cities, we're not that high. When you look at the overall aggregate tax across the board for the school district, the fire district, the port district, the county, us, yes, we're higher, but it's not the city that's causing it. It's the other governmental agencies that are having the higher tax rates. So we don't have any control over that.
Yeah.
You bring up a great point, which is, and it's sort of in the theme here, is if you just kind of forget the numbers for a second, the themes I see here, they're all over the board. Every community typically has them, and they roll up to these total numbers over here. And right now I have this spreadsheet. I can give it to you guys. You can run different scenarios where you sort them by the whatever, sort them by water, sort them by whatever. When you look at the numbers here, what we're sort of saying is, at least with the new wastewater, and you know what we're doing for parks, you know, you're in the 12-ish, 9 to 12. That's kind of the range we're talking about right now, just from the SDCs we're talking about. That kind of puts you, sort of in the kind of low to middle. Low to middle is what I would say. So this is kind of a nice tool. It's not, every town is a little different. For example, let's say you've got a lot of growth on one side of town, a bunch of new parks going in. It's all for growth. You know, that's different than, you know, your situation where you have existing parks. There's things that need to happen in those parks, but no particularly new parks right now. So just keep that in mind as you're looking at these numbers. They're not perfect, but it does tell you kind of like what are the highs and the lows and where does it feel right for you to be. That's the one thing about numbers. You can make them say whatever you want. At the end of the day, I think you should, at least for parks, capture as much as you can, as much as you think the community can stomach, because there isn't a lot of other funding for parks. And parks are really important for the appeal of a community.
This is crazy. I just checked on Vanita and the Mare Village's populations. And Vanita is 4,560.
Yeah. And that blew my mind. I put it in there on purpose to say, wow.
And if Dare feels it, it's 1,005.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't the cost of the SDCs somewhat dependent on population? In other words, if you have a town of 50,000 versus a town of 5,000, then the cost of operation may not be proportional.
Yeah, I think that's generally true for most utilities. For SDCs, a little bit less so because it's just for the growth piece. So you're not so let's say you're in Portland and there's nowhere to grow left. And so your SDC is actually might be big for people that, you know, because it's historically set up that way, but your growth, there's not that much opportunity to grow. And so I always keep kind of, whenever I talk about SDCs, I have to sort of stop thinking normally and go back to growth. It's the growth thing that, regardless of your population, it's that growth piece that you're trying to accommodate. So small towns that are growing really, really, really fast can capture some more of that.
There's also the issue of how affluent the community is, because there are communities that are very small population, but their per capita income is incredible. Like Bulk's Arts up in Washington has only a few hundred population, but they have incredibly high SDCs because their development standards are so high, because it's such an affluent community. And those are the kind of things you got to look at that as well, as what's the market really of that community. Is, you know, do you have a high income community or do you have a low income community?
Well, Millersburg is that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they lost
the
paper.
So you got to look at all of those things.
Well, there's a small town in Louisiana. Population is 1,800. And their budget per year is $75 million because of the big oil refineries that are sitting within the city limits.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I'm guessing we're going to run out of time. So if I were to leave a couple of themes, I think we've ran the numbers. We provided a range that we think is reasonable on the level of ambition for the next 20 years for parks. We've kind of laid out, this is just sort of a guide, but it is helpful just to kind of say, where do we want to be? You could charge up to the
1356.
This number. 13. You know, between, let's just say between 1,000 and 1,400. You could definitely get there if you want to. Funding isn't coming from other places like your other utilities are. So my recommendation would be, parks are so important. You see the way people are using them on the projects I've been working on. Raise as much funding as you can for parks. But you also have the opportunity with your other SDCs and your rates to make sure that this is palatable for your objectives and you have this growth, you want people to come. So to not discourage that, it's on the other side. If you don't beautify the parks and maintain the parks, then it'll be less appealing. So there's this trade-off discussion for you all to have what level of ambition you. Next steps will be, I really think, what I would recommend to do is, we've got a resolution, updating the official documentation for the resolution. Civil West, I think, is going to be laying out the first one for wastewater, and so we can kind of group those together, and it'd be great, if possible, to knock those out together, not to dictate anything, but the next step is probably to choose a number. It's not going to be forever, because you should be looking at them each year, but the new resolution will be easier to do that. It'll be less cumbersome to do it.
Are we going to require that a new SDC study to do for every raise we do?
Nope. I think all you'll need to do is prioritize, check your numbers, make sure the math looks good. You add, yep, subtract projects, and whatever those SDCs are, you just use it past them.
You can amend it. You look at it annually, whether it needs to be amended or not, and make that decision.
And you'll be looking at it as well, because you'll be thinking about where the revenue should go and which priority projects should be worked on.
So our next step here then is to meet again, discuss this, and come up with
Yeah, and well, the next step is we're going to bring in Civil West, and we're going to have them do the same kind of a presentation to you. We meet with them tomorrow to kind of lay out the format for their presentation. And then once you have both of them, so you can consider them together, so you have that combined impact, then we'll make decisions on where you want to end up.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I jumped the gun,
did you? Any more questions for Scene, please?
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Workshop adjourned at 6:50 p.m.